Welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And in today's episode, we're talking about the armies of the Netherlands. Found in the Armies of France and Allies book, page 54 onwards.
Yeah, they're not an army that you see very often, and you might see why as we run through the list. But there are some interesting things you can do with them, particularly around the vehicles.
Indeed, yeah. So, I mean, they weren't in the war for a huge amount of time. They very much tried to stay neutral and failed. So it's not a surprise that they are sort of part of this book rather than getting an entire book in their own right. I believe also because they had that policy of neutrality, there wasn't a huge amount of military spending and training going on, which is why, again, we're not going to see huge varieties in their troops. But actually, because they were purchasing stuff from other nations, I think you're right, we're going to see some interesting stuff in the vehicle section.
I would say they were in the war longer than other European nations were, because of obviously they had the colony in terms of the Dutch East Indies.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So in that sense, you know, in terms of the Pacific, they are there into 1942 rather than the rather short-lived period in the early part of the war in Europe.
Yeah, and because of that, we find some of the entries in New Guinea, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so they may feature as we go through the army list. Before we jump into the units, though, shall we go through the national characteristics?
Yeah, so these will be very familiar to those of you who've listened to our other allied minor nation chats, because they all appear in other allied minor nations.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one's communication breakdown, which you see in the French, for example. And that means that in the first turn of the game, if the first order dice drawn from the cup is one of yours, the enemy can decide that the dice is put back into the cup and a new order die is drawn instead.
So don't bring a sniper.
Yeah. Second one is forward artillery doctrine. Again, very similar to the French. Dutch armies get one free, inexperienced or regular artillery unit. This unit can be any anti-tank gun or any field artillery piece in the Dutch army list, except for heavy artillery. And this is in addition to the number of artillery units normally available.
So bring a medium howitzer.
And hurriedly conscripted reserves, again, very similar to the French. If the force includes three or more inexperienced infantry sections, it may include a free inexperienced infantry section identical to the cheapest one already purchased. This is in addition to units chosen from whatever selector is used.
So bring four full strength inexperienced squads.
There we go.
Job done. End of episode.
Okay, Johnny. So in terms of the HQ, is there anything going on that we haven't seen elsewhere or anything that is worthy of note beyond the normal worthy of note?
Not really. It's very similar to the national characteristics, where it's just a mashup of the other miners effectively. So you've got the officers at all the usual ranks, mm-hmm. but inexperienced or regular, not veteran. You've got a medic only at regular. You've got a forward observer, both and artillery, but mm-hmm. only at regular. And that's it, basically, for the HQ. So not a lot to write home about.
Cool. Okay. What about the infantry squads and teams?
Not a huge amount. We've got four in the Armies of France and Allies book. You've got regular and inexperienced infantry sections, which are 5 to 11 men, with the only option is to add a light machine gun for 20 points. Mm-hmm. So not a huge amount of flavor there, but does what it says on the tin.
Mm-hmm.
You've then got some Indonesian infantry. They're, again, 5 to 11 men. On this one, however, your first five men have rifles and your following six men are unarmed, specifically having the special rule that they cannot shoot nor attack in close quarters. Their only value is as casualties.
Mm-hmm.
You can give them pistols, which is good. So for 6 points a man, you're getting six pistol-armed men, which actually is quite a nice little way to pad the unit. Mm-hmm. And you do have the option to give them a light machine gun, which you're probably not going to use for an inexperienced squad. But you can, if you are so inclined, like traditionally a Soviet player, you can give them shirkers to take 3 points off per man and have a really cheap squad.
Is this one of those stupid things where you can get for 1 point an unarmed shirker? Wasn't there a whole thing about this? Because they're 4 points for unarmed, then you make them shirkers for -3.
Yep. So you can, in fact, it's not all the men in the squad. The first five men are going to be 4 points a man like normal shirkers. But you are right. The unarmed men could be 1 point a man, which is actually really good value. However, I would pay the extra 2 points to give them the pistols, I think, just so you've got tough fighters because...
Inexperienced, tough fighting shirkers.
Yeah, it'd be pretty interesting. I mean, if you took them full strength, you could probably outflank them and then...
Yeah, hope they don't get four pins by the time they hit a unit.
Yeah, which if you're outflanking, they probably can get to the back lines on turn five because you're getting to reroll the reserve check, aren't you, at full strength? So yeah. It might be a way to run them.
Okay.
Or you could just use them as a, for what you're paying, 20 points plus six, 26-point squad.
Yeah.
Which would be pretty tasty for 11 men. It's like, it's the same as a medic, isn't it?
20, 26, yeah, medic's like 25, isn't it? Or so 23, yeah. 25, something like that, yeah.
I mean, that is actually quite interesting, although not overly useful, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, oh, we could do some shenanigans in terms of points and all that sort of thing. Whether or not you should, just because you can, is another thing entirely. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I think this is only going to, sort of this spam a lot list is only going to happen in the unlimited platoon tournaments rather than, because most tournaments are going to have one or two platoons. If all you take is 26 points, 11-man squads.
Yeah.
You're not going to fill your points limit, are you?
No. Perfect for that 600-point doubles, though.
Yeah, just if you just really want that first order dice.
Flood the board, yeah. Although you can't, because you'd have to give it back if your opponent says so.
Well, that's all right, because you've still got 40 dice to their 10.
Moving on,
we've got the motorcycle section, mm-hmm. which is just like all the other motorcycle sections you're not going to take.
Okay.
Because it's 5 to 11 men, but you're paying sort of 15 points a man for regulars. And then you've got a light machine gun. I don't really see the point in motorcycles in bolt action, to be honest, so I'm not going to dwell too long on it.
Sure.
Effectively, it's the alternative to buying a truck for them if you just want to dump them up the board.
But yeah.
Because they haven't got a lot of special gear, I don't see why you would bother with it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's a controversial opinion, so someone out in the interwebs can tell me why motorcycles are actually brilliant at 5 points a model. But that's all I've got in the Armies of France and Allies book. What have we got in the New Guinea book, Phil?
So you do get a couple more infantry squads in the New Guinea book. These represent the KNIL Guerrillas.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are infantry squads. They are both legit in a generic platoon, and they're also legit in the KNIL Guerrillas Theatre Selector, which is in the New Guinea book. So the first one is the Guerrilla Rifle section. These ones you can take inexperienced regular or vets, so opportunity takes some vets. 5-man squad, normal costings in terms of 7, 10, 13. You can add an NCO with a submachine gun. What you can also do, and this is very similar to one of the Australian units from the New Guinea book, is add a local scout. So mm-hmm. for 32 points in experience, 35 regular or 38 veteran, you can add a local scout. And what this allows you to do when out flanking is to arrive on the short board edge of your choice, rather than having to choose before the game begins which board edge that is going to be.
Nice. It's, I imagine that's useful in objective missions,
mm-hmm.
but not really in kill points or...
No.
Well, it's certainly not going to be useful in movement ones where there is no flanking.
No. It's also quite expensive to do that.
Yeah. But because you've got no special gear, it is purely just so you can get into position, isn't it?
The other one you've got is the Guerrilla Light Machine Gun section. So despite mm-hmm. this being a machine gun section, it is actually an infantry squad. It's a 4-man base unit, inexperienced, regular, or vet. They're armed with rifles, with one person with a light machine gun. Obviously, a second person acts as the loader. You can add up to 4 additional men at the normal price of 7, 10, or 13. You can have a SMG if you want, and you can add that scout that we just mentioned as well. Interesting thing with this is, so unlike the Japanese MMG squad that replaces the MMG in the MMG section of the army list, this replaces it in the infantry squad. So if you really wanted to, you could have an LMG section as an infantry squad and then also have your MMG in your normal choice.
Oh, that's a shame. That was going to be my question, because having a squad in a team slot is a great way to pad out a platoon when you've got a platoon limit.
Yeah.
And so it's a bit of a shame actually that they've done that, because I don't see a place for this in the infantry sections, but I do see a place for it replacing the machine gun team.
Yeah, and if you read the fluff in the New Guinea book, it explains why they've done it in terms of the guerrilla sections, because of how they distributed their LMGs across their infantry squads. And I would imagine that is reflected in the theatre selector from that book. So
yeah, 100%. And I think it fits very similar, in my thinking, it fits very similar to the last squad where, if you want something to dump on an objective from the flanks, it'll do the job, but I wouldn't expect any much killing power from it.
No.
Cool. Is that all the infantry sections from New Guinea?
Yeah, that is it.
Is that everything from New Guinea, in fact, or do they have anything else in there?
No, that is it. That is everything.
Brilliant.
Sefini.
So in that case, what do they have in the team weapons in Armies of France?
Yeah, so team weapons wise, fairly straightforward. No great shakes or surprises. You can take an MMG team if you wish. You can take an anti-tank rifle team. You can take a sniper team. You can take a medium mortar team. And that is it.
What about the artillery, Phil? Anything exciting in there?
Pretty much straightforward. So you've got your light, medium, or heavy artillery. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as we said, you can take an additional artillery piece, but not the heavy, as part of your national rules. You've got a light anti-tank gun. You've got a light anti-aircraft gun. And you've got a heavy anti-aircraft gun.
Nice. It's nice that they get a heavy anti-aircraft gun. That's quite rare. I did note one interesting thing on their artillery, which is because they're so outdated, these artillery pieces, you never range in.
That is interesting. Although it is only if you pay the extra points, or not pay the extra points, reduce the points cost.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can buy it normally, or you can reduce the points cost to add the severely outdated rule, which is the one that means they don't range in.
So I could, for my free one, I could choose to have an outdated one, or I could choose to have a up-to-date, state-of-the-art one.
I would imagine so, yeah. There's no limits, is there, on the free artillery piece in terms of it has to reflect what you've already bought?
No.
No.
So I suppose what you could do is you could pair a free medium up-to-date artillery piece with an out-of-date heavy artillery piece.
Slightly cheaper, yeah.
Slightly cheaper, but you get additional crew for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure it's worth saving 15 points, though, when you're already 115 points in on the heavy artillery piece.
And I guess if you do that, though, you're going to use one as direct fire and one as indirect fire, aren't you? So your outdated one is going to be your static direct firing gun to close down a firing lane. And then you might use your indirect, not outdated one to start ranging in.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking if you are going to pair the medium with the heavy, you put that heavy sort of alongside a building, let's say, with its extra crew, out of date, so you're saving a bit of points, and then the medium behind, so you can recrew.
You're doing the whole 12-inch recrew. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And you could even actually pay for the veteran for the one that's going to be outdated. It's going to work out about the same cost. A veteran outdated is going to cost about the same as a regular up-to-date.
Yeah.
And so
you can start adding the veterancy level to when you start recrewing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there's probably even better shenanigans for players of the armies of the Netherlands. I imagine I've thought of even wilder shenanigans than what I've just thought up there. But there we go. I think other than the out-of-date cannons, it's fairly mundane so far, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But we're about to move into vehicles.
Okay.
Just glancing over, I can see there's a wide selection.
Cool. Okay, Johnny. So why don't you take us through the armoured cars then?
Armoured cars, certainly. So you've got the Landwerk armoured car, which is 135 points regular. It is a recce vehicle, and it's not open-topped, which is very nice. For those 135 points, you're getting a light anti-tank gun with a coax MMG and a hull MMG. But in addition to that, you're also getting a rear-facing hull MMG. So actually, you're getting three MMGs there.
Yeah.
Admittedly, they can't all shoot the same thing because one of them's facing backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's an interesting one to sort of just drive up the table and sort of pirouette around spraying bullets.
Yeah, okay.
On the theme of MMGs, they've got the Marmon Harrington, which we all know and love.
Yeah.
So recce, 80 points, armor 7, a pair of MMGs in the turret.
It's interesting in the armies of France and the Allies, it does specify, it's not a restriction, but in the fluff, it does say, this was not used in Europe, this is used by the KNIL. So if you do want to theme your generic platoon to a theatre, you get, theatre of operation, not a theatre selector, in bolt action, you do get some guidance in the book.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And then you've got the Alva Strausler armoured car.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it says the same thing, doesn't it? Not in Europe.
Yeah.
On that one, turret MMG and a hull MMG. So very similar, same points cost, same recce, same armor.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I'd probably go for the Marmon.
Because of that paired, yeah.
Although actually, having said that, the Alvis can put out two pins per turn.
You can put out separate pins, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting choice to make. But I suppose it depends what else is in your list as to whether you need to put out the second pin or whether you want the full 360 on both guns.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, you can save yourself 10 points by taking the What's that? The overall wagon.
Overall wagon, yeah.
The overall wagon.
It's probably a better way of pronouncing that, but yeah.
Yeah. I imagine it's something like overall wagon. I don't know. But it's a patrol truck. So armor 7, 70 points, pintle cover in the front and both sides, but not the rear. You can actually upgrade it with a full pintle for 360 for 5 points. I don't think I would, to be honest. I think I'd save the 5 points. And you can make it an HMG for 10 points. Probably won't, but it would be nice to pin some armor. But the fun begins when you can add two additional pintle MMGs. They are a bit of a faff because they're sort of left and right and rear.
And rear, yeah.
But I suppose because it's recce, you could actually drive it round backwards and have all three MMGs shooting rearwards.
You could, yes, yeah.
There is an option for that.
Yeah. It is open top, though, so you are going to take the pins, yeah.
Yeah, it's a risky one. But I think there's that truck has some merit. I think potentially it is starting to get a bit pricey when you put all the guns on. It's 100 points. And with it being open top, bit of a risky proposition. But I imagine you're going to have a lot of fun with it. And then the final armored car, on a similar theme, it's open top. This one isn't recce, though. It's the word that we don't know how to pronounce, the overall wagon.
Yeah.
The overall wagon. This one's a Navy gun truck. Not because it goes in the sea or anything. I don't know. It's just because it's got a naval gun
on the back of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a rear-facing light howitzer, this Navy gun. But it also keeps a front-facing Vickers MMG. Armor 7, as I said, open-topped. Not a huge fan of that, to be honest. Because without the recce, having to reverse up to shoot your light howitzer is a risky proposition.
Yeah, yeah.
Also quite tricky to get the angles on when it's rear-facing and you haven't got recce. Because you can't turn and reverse. So that's all the armored cars. What about in the tank slot, Phil? Lots of fun to be had there?
I wouldn't say lots. Fun, probably, but not lots. So you got your Vickers light tank, which is, as you see it in the British list, so inexperienced, regular, or veteran. It has a turret-mounted HMG, a coaxial MMG. It's a 7+ armored car. You can replace the coax for twin HMG for plus 10 points. You can make it amphibious as well if you want to.
That's interesting because the HMG coax MMG combo, because you can't fire them both, it seems like a bit of a waste. But twin HMG is interesting.
Now, I imagine because it's twinned, you'd have to fire at the same target. So you're not putting out separate pins. But that ability to put six shots with minus one penetration, depending on your, or plus one penetration, sorry, depending upon your range, could be interesting if you can get into the side. Doesn't have recce, though, so.
No, but it does have amphibious for 5 points. So you could catch them off guard by driving at them from the sea.
Yeah, true. If you don't want to do that, though, you might want to take a Cardan Lloyd tankette, which is 44 points in experience, 55 points regular. It's a 7+ open-topped, forward-facing, hole-mounted MMG. That's it. Straightforward.
Good fun. I mean, 55 points isn't a lot of points to pay for a machine gun pillbox.
And then your last one is the Marmon Herrington CTLS, which is an American-made light tank rather than the British version. This has two forward-facing hole-mounted MMGs and one turret-mounted MMG for 7+ damage value, armored carrier.
I really like this. I mean, three MMGs for 80 points, all pointing in the same direction as well, importantly. I think that's got some legs, that one.
What's interesting is there is no AT other than your HMG. There's no AT capability in your tanks. And in your armoured cars, it's just that first one, the Landsverk armoured car, or if you want to take the naval gun. Everything else is effectively just MMGs.
Yeah, that is, it is really interesting. I was thinking that myself, that there's really, it's not often you see the tanks having no anti-tank.
No.
And the anti-tank being found elsewhere. But in a game with a lot of infantry, a lot of MMGs really goes a long way. And so I'm actually a big fan of them.
Yeah, and if you, a lot of these vehicles obviously reflect the Pacific theater rather than the European theater, and that's exactly what you found. You didn't have big tanks in opposition. It was a lot of infantry. Therefore, MMGs and HMGs would have been perfectly fine historically. So,
yeah. Shall we move on to transports, sir?
Are we going to see some AT options in the transports, Johnny?
Well, spoilers, but yes. The transports, the Dutch really buck the trend with So the miners, I always complain, don't have machine guns on trucks. That's always my common complaint.
Yeah.
Bizarrely, with the Dutch, they might even have too many guns on the transports.
Is that possible?
Not for me, but I think for a
man
that
runs Dodge trucks all the time with MMGs on them, maybe even HMGs, is that possible?
It's choice, isn't it? You know, the classic, what is it? Anyway, I think you are spoiled for choice, and it's going to lead to indecision. So I'm going to jump straight in with the most exciting unit. Mm-hmm. They have a light truck that carries 12 men, yeah. 39 points regular.
Yeah.
Which isn't that exciting yet, but just wait.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a Pintle MMG for 15 points.
Standard.
And what's more, you can bang an additional 2 Pintle MMGs on it. So you can have a truck with 3 MMGs.
Mm.
Admittedly, the additional 2 can only shoot right, left, rear.
Mm-hmm.
But that coming in from the outflank or even just driving up the middle of the board, 3 pins out, not a bad little option, that.
There's a bit like the half tracks, isn't it? But without paying the extra points for the armoured carrier. Yeah, yeah.
The tricky part is, I don't know what I'm putting in this truck when I rush it up the board.
No.
But if you want to just treat it as a pillbox, put it behind a wall.
Sort
of you've got all 3 sides covered.
On a funny angle, yeah.
Not bad. I'm probably not going to do that, to be honest, but it's nice to have the option.
Yep.
Now, the next one's interesting, isn't it? The light utility trucks and cars. Do you want to talk us through that one?
So these are the ones that are really interesting. So your basic option, it's inexperienced regular veteran, 17, 21, 25 points. It's a soft skin and it can take 3 men. So far, pretty meh. However, you can add various options. You can add a Pintle mounted MMG for plus 15 points. You can then upgrade it to an HMG for an additional 10 points. You could add another 2 additional Pintle mounted MMGs covering the right and rear, left and rear for 15 points each. Or, and this is where it gets really interesting, you can add a forward-facing or rear-facing hull-mounted light anti-tank gun for plus 50 points. Finally, in the transport section, we find some decent AT.
Yeah, and what's amazing, well, what I think is amazing, is because it doesn't lose its transport capacity, you could take basically as many
as you've got
points
allowed. Yeah.
You can take that 26-point squad and then take a 71 points regular truck with a light anti-tank gun.
Yeah.
Maybe he's even pushed the boat out for the machine gun as well.
Mm-hmm.
86 points. So what's that? You're now 112 points in.
Well, there you
2 order dice.
You are going to need to put someone in the vehicle to fire both, aren't you? Because it can only fire one.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. So what I'll do is I'll let them die quickly. So they get down to 3 men.
And then jump in.
Oh, it's a real shame, actually, that light machine gun squad is 4 men, Rodri,
because
we could have snuck them in. I suppose, actually, you've made a good point there. Maybe it's just not worth paying for the Pintle machine gun.
No, but the ability for 71 points to take a transport which has a forward-facing light AT when you haven't got a lot of AT elsewhere, it's obviously not what they were designed to do. But if you wanted to, you can so choose, given the options, yeah.
Yeah, and it's quite useful because you can shoot it with a 1-inch shell. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the D2 pins as well. So you can use it as a bit of an anti-infantry threat, bit of a sort of, even if you can't kill the tanks with a light anti-tank gun, you could just start pinning them down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting choice. I think it would probably be the way I would build this army just for fun, to have 5 or 6 of these fellas.
And to be fair, that is how you like to play your Americans, isn't it? In terms of soft skins with big guns, be that MMGs on Dodges or the little light AT Dodge, what's it called?
Oh, the M6 GMC.
Or the M6 GMC, yeah. That's how you like to build your Americans sometimes.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'm seeing this truck, as a GMC, an M6 GMC, but with an additional transport capacity. It does make it a bit vulnerable to being stolen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. But I mean, I'll have 5 others, so you're welcome to steal one.
As long as they're not in the line, so that one goes, the other 4 go as a consequence.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you want to, you could take a Jeep and you could stick an MMG on it and lose your transport capacity, because it's not like you haven't got a lot of options for MMGs elsewhere in the list.
I don't understand why they added this entry, to be honest, because why would you take... I suppose it defends you against that being stolen option, but it does move it to the armoured car slot.
Yeah.
I suppose actually there is a place for it there if you just want to save points on your armored car, but you do want a machine gun in that slot.
True. You could take a tractor if you want, the Trado tractor. You could also take a GMC tractor. They're both tractors. And 6 plus. You could take a Vickers utility tractor, which is a tractor but 7 plus.
Well, the GMC and the Trado, the GMC can be inexperienced. That's the only difference between them, isn't it? And then, so 15 points for a regular GMC or 50 points for a regular Vickers, but no weapons. So it's quite a lot of points to spend.
Yeah, just to get that 7 plus versus the 6 plus, yeah.
Especially because the GMC can drag any gun, whereas the Vickers is limited to medium anti-tank or light howitzers. So that Vickers can't even tow the free medium howitzer you got.
Now, what you can do is get the M3 White Scout car, which is 69 points in experience, 86 regular, or 103 veteran. That comes with a pintle-mounted HMG covering the forward arc. It's a 7-plus armoured carrier with 8 men. If you want to, you can add a couple of additional pintle-mounted MMGs. And if you also want to, you can remove the transport capacity and give it recce, which will then shove it into the armoured car slot. But that's where you can get your 7-plus recce'd HMG with up to 2 more MMG DACA armoured cars, if you so wish.
Yeah, that's exactly the same as the US entry. And I really like the model and I like the idea of this vehicle, but I've never really found a use case for it because it's just a little bit pricey. I'm going to have to try them at some point, I think, just because they've always been on my agenda, but I don't think there's a place for it, especially in this army where there's lots of other fun things in the transport slot.
Yeah, and then the last one is your overall Wagen APC, which effectively is a German 250/1 Hanamag. So it's 74 points regular for a 7-plus armour carrier for 12 men. The reason why it's only 74 is it doesn't come with the MMG, but you can add the MMG on for 10 points to get it up to 84, and then effectively it's a 12-man half-track with an MMG.
Yeah, nice enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's overcosted in the same way most of the half-tracks are.
Yeah.
Again, I've got an issue with this army where he's paying all these points for transports that really don't have a use case for because all you've got is light machine guns, so you really want them to stay back and just spray at long distance. So it's bizarre that we've got so many transport options. From a game's perspective, we've got so many transport options and not much fun stuff to transport.
What you don't have are AT grenades either. So it's not even like you can tool up one of your squads with AT grenades and use them as anti-tank options.
Yeah, and no SMGs because of the sort of the lack of equipment due to the policy of neutrality. I mean, it's weird that you don't even get flamethrowers. Like, they're not even...
No.
Didn't even stockpile them from sort of World War One surplus. There's just not in existence. So really, I think you want to keep people back. So you're only buying transports in order to have more guns, is what I'm thinking here.
Yeah. If you like DACA, this could be the army for you with a twist, yeah?
Yeah. And it's an interesting one. I think it has legs, this army, but I'm not sure how well you could play it sort of as a new player to it. I think there's a lot of fun to be had and a lot of gaming of the system, as it were.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to require sort of a lot of practice with this army.
So if you went to one of those events where you have like the 750-1250 split and your first option can't take anything above 6 plus, you could put a lot of MGs into this list. Problem is, if you've got to take the same nation at 1250, you're really going to struggle when you boost it to that level. But if you were playing, you know, some kind of recon patrol or, you know, nothing over armor 6, actually, you can stick a lot of shots out with this list.
Oh, 100%. And it's the infantry that's letting it down. I think
If
you took the transport options and put them in a different nation that could have maybe stubborn or tough fighters or something, this would be really powerful. And it's just sort of on the edge of becoming a competitive force for me. But anyway, what sort of selectors have we got?
You have a grand choice of three. So you've got one that reflects the Western Front. Right at the start of the war. You've got one that reflects the Pacific Theatre. And then in New Guinea, you've got the guerrilla selector as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're all fairly straightforward. Given the choices we just talked through, there isn't anything that sort of really jumps out in my view on any of them.
No, I agree. The only thing that's interesting is if you are doing this in a theatres only, mm-hmm. and you do the Battle of the Netherlands, you can't arm the trucks.
Okay.
Which means that actually the thing that we were just raving about.
Yeah, ignore the last 10 minutes.
Yeah. If theatres, ignore the last 10 minutes. If generic, rewind.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. Other than that, it's fairly standard choices with sort of the main perk being you can have one-way infantry section. So if you're limited to a single platoon,
yeah,
you can throw in that 26-point squad.
The guerrillas do get some interesting special rules in New Guinea in terms of you get field craft, which is where you can set up hidden and in ambush, and you can also run through rough ground. You get infiltration, which affects your outflanking, and you get the isolated resistance rule, which means that any veteran units count as stubborn and jungle warfare masters, but they're also exhausted. The reason why you wouldn't do it is your basic options are infantry, a light mortar team, and 0-3 sniper teams.
So you got no anti-tank?
You got nothing. No. Because they're guerrillas fighting, obviously, behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
Japanese invasion. They didn't have a lot of tanks in the Pacific. They didn't need to. These are just, you know, annoying pockets of resistance rather than concentrated, coordinated attacks.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Mad. That's going to be really hard to fill the points on.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to struggle to get past 1,000 points, if even to 1,000 points.
Yeah.
I suppose if you take them all full strength veteran, you probably get there.
On a whim and a prayer.
Yeah. I mean, those special rules are fun as well, but they're not hugely competitive because you don't have much in the list to sort of use those rules.
No.
Cool. So, Phil, I'm all excited to play Dutch now. Yeah. Where can I buy my models?
So they haven't got a huge number of choices. The ones to look at are May 40.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some, and if you're in the UK, you can get them through Great Escape Games. So they have a small selection, but, you know, probably sufficient in terms of infantry squads and so on. And they recently released a Kickstarter, or they're in the process, or they're actually in the middle of the Kickstarter for the KNIL units and options, which look pretty cool, to be fair.
Nice. I mean, you also get quite a lot of STLs out there as well. I know on the light utility trucks, there are STLs on Wargaming 3D.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them. So I think Dewey Cat does one for about $5, the STL.
Okay.
And obviously you get the file and then you can print as many of them as you want.
Yeah.
That's probably the way I would go personally. I don't like to 3D print troops, but for the vehicles, I think I'm going to be, because I actually don't know where else I can get the models from if I'm looking for the sort of the peculiar Dutch trucks.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of kit bashing and, like you said, a lot of STLs, 3D printing and so on. Niche, effectively.
Yeah. A lot of fun, I imagine, as a sort of a hobby project.
Yeah, no, definitely as a project. I can see it being interesting, yeah.
And we've got quite a lot of sort of loaned vehicles as well. So you have got options there of buying sort of the Marmon Harrington or the White Scout car.
Yeah, the Lloyd Carrier as well, yes. If you're doing the early war Western Front, then you obviously got your early war British options, and then you got a few more later on in terms of US options in for the KNIL.
Nice. Well, Phil, what do you reckon? Are you going to start a Dutch army?
No.
That was quite definitive.
It was quite definitive. That wasn't my no, but actually I will go and do it down the line. This was a no, I'm not going to.
Why not?
There's no hook for me yet, based on what I have read and seen.
Yeah, you see, for me, I actually have considered this one before.
Yeah, well, we've talked about the three-man vehicles with the forward-facing ATs, haven't we?
Yeah, and I think the two barriers for me are historically, it's been the lack of minis. So it's always been sort of it makes it a bigger project than starting a different nation. And then you've also got those transports seem like brilliant, the idea of having a transport with a light anti-tank gun. But then once you start to think about, well, what's your actual infantry that's going to win you the game?
Yeah.
It starts to get a little bit more precarious, the battle plan. And so those are my two main barriers historically for the Dutch. But I think, I imagine someone who's been playing these quite a while would do really well with them, even in the competitive tournaments, because we see a lot of sort of armor-rated tanks, which... Mm. The light anti-tank guns, ideal for taking on.
We did see one at the Welsh Open 2 years ago. I want to say 2022, a gentleman brought them and definitely wasn't at the bottom after five games.
Brilliant.
So if there are players out there who are successfully running Dutch armies, please do drop us a message or put a comment on the Facebook post when we launch this episode. We'd be interested to hear what you do, how you build it, and where you get your minis from.
Yeah, and I look forward to seeing any photos that you share on the post. It's always nice when we do the armies and people share their actual armies, especially these ones that we really don't see very often. It's really nice to see all the ways you've sort of kit-bashed models, etc.
Absolutely. And in the spirit of sharing, do please like, share, and subscribe.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.